Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Providing Houston sports radio excellence for 14 years and counting. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 on Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Aaron. And you can get in on the show as well, at John Granato, at Lance Zierlein, at Aaron is Blitzed, or 713-780-3776. 713-780. I thought I was giving out my own phone, my cell phone number.
Which I've done before.
Yeah, you have?
Yeah.
Don't do that.
And somebody texted like, hey, I think you just gave out your cell phone number. Don't do it again.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. Don't do that.
My cell phone number, if you want to call right now, I'm going to turn it off. It's 1-800-676-5200. That's 1-800-676-5200.
Yeah. Don't give out your cell phone like that. It sounds familiar, that number.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds familiar. So Cliff, man, I'm going to tell you this. I was watching the game with some Cliff fans yesterday. Some
Cliff fans?
Yeah.
Fans of head coaches?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Fans of head coaches. And it's a little troubling. And actually, what do you think is going to happen? When you showed me those numbers this morning.
Yeah, shout out to K-Mac for sending them to me in the DMs. Let me read them to you. It came from Action Network. And if there's anyone that's going to keep track of what a coach is doing, if there's a trend, it's going to be Action, a gambling website.
Well, yeah, Action Network. Darren Revell writes for Action Network, doesn't he? Does he own it? Is that it?
No. He owns it? I mean, I know that.
No, I don't know that he owns it, but he's definitely
I think
a part
he's got
a big part of it. He's
part of it, but I know Brent Musburger is one who started it, and then VSIN started from there. But anyway, Action Network had this. Action Network is legitimate gamblers. Like it's a growing site, and they do radio and all kinds of stuff. Anyway, Cliff Kingsbury's into the season as head coach. They started at Texas Tech. His end of the season. Lost 5 of 6 in 13. Lost 4 of 6 in 14. Lost 4 of 6 in 15. Lost 6 of 8 in 16. Lost 6 of 8 in 17. Lost 5 of 5 in 18. Fired. With the Cardinals. Lost 7 of 9, 19. Lost 5 of 7, 20. Lost 5 of 6, 21. In case you were keeping track there and you were like, you weren't really paying attention early and you said, well, wait, did they all run consecutively? They did. From 13 to 21, Cliff has been an atrocity. If my math is correct, he's 17 and 41 win-loss total. Ooh. During that time, during those games. 17 and 41. His teams were terrible. And look, Kyler Murray was atrocious yesterday. Just absolutely terrible. He also didn't have a tremendous amount of time to throw. I get that. He doesn't have his number one receiver there also, which is part of it. But Kyler also has really become an issue, apparently, in Arizona with the way that he berates teammates, not well-liked in the locker room, from what I was told by someone in Arizona. He shows his teammates up on the – and that's kind of Cliff – you start wondering, does Cliff have any control over this team at all? You know? And Cliff – I mean, the proof is in the pudding there. Those numbers are terrible. Cliff doesn't win to finish seasons. You start back at 19 and you roll all the way through 21. We're dealing with a sample size here that needs to at least be discussed, which is why we're discussing it. But that's a pretty substantial sample size of consecutive years where you can't finish.
you know, you look at their season, and here's JJ. Did you hear? I don't know if you heard this, but JJ goes over there. JJ wants to win a Super Bowl. JJ, when asked about this season, and he's probably, you know what, it's right after a loss and actually an embarrassing loss, the way that they played. Here's JJ asked about the season. And not coming up.
We'll wait until computer.
All right, so something happened with the computer.
Save it though. I want to hear yeah. We'll wait until Aaron's fixed. Well, but
hopefully he'll get it.
JJ, you think there's a chance JJ retires?
Could be.
Because you got to know if you're in Arizona right now, this ain't it. This isn't going to be it next year either.
No. Didn't he sign a two-year deal?
I don't know, but I doubt it's all fully guaranteed. Whatever. And even if it is, I mean, maybe he plays, maybe he doesn't.
Whatever the case may be, he was extremely disappointed. Now, if you're Steve Keim, it's interesting. Well, how do you look at it? Hey, we made the playoffs. We're taking steps. We're on the right track. You know, he got rid of a coach right away. He got rid of Josh Rosen right away. He, you know, you don't want to be knee-jerk. You want some stability in your program. And yet, you look at the way that you guys end seasons and you go, is Cliff the guy? And it's definitely worth
You can't ask if Kyler's a guy, because even if you don't think he is, it's too late. Yeah. You drafted Josh Rosen, you got away, you got to Kyler. You have to roll with Kyler. Now, you can make a decision about a second contract, but odds are he's going to get a second contract. And this is one of the problems with quarterback purgatory. Once you make a commitment in the first round, especially with an early pick,
number one overall,
your pressure, all they have to do is play reasonably well, and you're stuck into a second contract, yep. And it turns into a nightmare. And right now, I don't see anything that would lead me to believe in his 3 years that he's played in the league that Kyler, he's still in a growing pattern. I'm just saying right now, Kyler has a tendency. I'm looking up his splits, but Kyler has a tendency to really fall off. December of this year, 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, a completion percentage of 62%.
In December. The whole month? 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions?
Well, he was injured or he was out, remember, for a little bit. Because they don't even show him playing in November.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, he was 93 of 148, which would be maybe 4 games.
4 games.
It's 4 games. 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions in 4 games. He had a 62% completion rating. That's in December to end the year. In 2020, to end the year from a split standpoint, Kyler Murray had 7 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 64% completion percentage in 4 games. This is after going 6-2, 9-2, 4-5. And then his rookie year, I don't even really want to count his rookie year just because that's a tough season. And it wasn't good. Well, it is worth noting, I guess. In October and November, Kyler had 10 touchdowns, 1 interception. Once December got here, 6 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. So Kyler Murray has had a difficult time finishing games. Cliff Kingsbury has had a difficult time finishing seasons for multiple years. And that's an interesting situation for J.J. Watt to be in if he thinks that that's where he wants to be to win a championship.
Here's J.J. on the when asked about how this season went.
I mean, it was a massive failure. I mean, from what we were capable of doing and from what we showed we can do to today, there's no other way to describe it than as a failure.
Early on when JJ was hurt, and I believe it was the first Rams game, I'm pretty sure, whatever the case, I don't know, he was on the sidelines and he was mic'd up and he was screaming, you know, we're the best team, maybe it isn't, everybody's wondering why we're so, why this is happening, it's because we're the best team. And then last night they were a far cry from the best team, and you mentioned it. What a massive disappointment these playoffs have been so far. Other than that San Francisco Dallas game, the Raiders showed a little bit of moxie and they came up at the end. But they were so stupid the entire game. How many mistakes the Raiders made was just ridiculous. from penalties to turnovers to everything they did. It just, and then at the very end, they came up with making it a game. But all of the teams that we thought, you know, this team's the favorite, this team should win, this team did. It's been like, holy crap, how bad is, you know, the difference between the top teams? We have 8 teams left. I think we're going to get some good playoff games this weekend.
I think
the divisional round is the best
we're
round.
We're weeding out the weak teams. The Cardinals showed no signs of life late in the year. I mean, they rode a lot. They had a big win in Dallas.
Yes.
Which really saved their season.
And then you look at Dallas and go, huh.
Yeah, okay. I know. It saved their season. But what we did was we weeded out. All right, Pittsburgh really was an extra that no one really cared about. The Colts were the dangerous team, but they couldn't do something that should have been basically easy. But the Colts were the team that no one wanted to see, so everyone was glad they're out. Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger before their game said, we really don't have a chance. That lets you know about them. Jalen Hurts had no prayer of beating Tampa Bay and Tom. The Eagles had no chance. Frankly, Arizona, to me, 3 felt weirdly low based on how poorly they had played. And, boy, it didn't take long. It took 2 series, and you realize, oh, my God, 2 straight 3 and outs, and they don't even look close. Kyler Murray throwing the ball up in the air for a pick 6.
Holy cow.
The Rams let off the gas. They had chances twice to push the ball down the field before the half, and it's almost like sitting there winning 21-0, their head coach, Sean McVay, basically said, I just don't want to screw this up because we know I'm just going to hand off on 2nd and 20. It's 2nd and 20. They're at the half. They're like a 50-yard line with 2.5 minutes to go, 3 minutes to go, 4 minutes to go. Instead of pushing the ball down the field and keep, you know, foot on the gas, he ran the ball. You know why? He ran the ball twice in a row. You know why? Because he knew there's no chance Arizona can score on us. We're not giving them a defensive touchdown. We're not going to screw this up.
Right.
So Arizona is out too. Now you look at the games, and I think we got some great playoff games. I'm really excited about this weekend and moving forward. I think there's some evenly matched teams. I'm not sure what's going to happen with a lot of these matchups. They just had to get rid of the trim the fat.
You know what? The wild card weekend is a bunch of hype, and this happens every year. The divisional round now, this may be the best weekend of football.
Yeah.
This may be the best weekend in all of the whole year, football-wise.
Hey, I want to get our guy Mark Foster.
Well, let's get him on the other side. It's 712. We want to talk to him a little bit.
Yeah.
712 ESPN, 97.5.
By the way, J.J. Watt, 80 of 80 games played, his first 5 seasons in the league. His next 6, 55 of 97 games played.
Yeah, he plays about half the time. Yep.
Now, he did have a full 16 of 16. You know, remember, in two of his last 5 years with the Texans, he played full seasons. Other than that, he played 3, 5, and 8. Then with the Cardinals this year, 7. I bring that up because
it's about time.
Are we gonna, like, seriously, are we going to see JJ continue to do this?
It's about time.
I mean, 4 of the last 6 have been severely injury
prone. Yeah. All right, 713-780-3776. I'm talking right now about my peeps over at Chastain Ford. I love those guys. Matter of fact, we were talking about them last night. As a matter of fact, they are just so – I'm telling you, if you're looking for that Ford car or truck, there's just one place to go, and that's Chastain Ford. You see my people, and you're going to get the best deal. You're not going to get used. You're not going to get you're going to get exactly that Ford car or truck exactly as you want it, not the way that Detroit puts it together, not the way that the dealership says, hey, you know, any other dealership, they're going to say, hey, what about this? You could use some leather seats. Hey, how about the sunroof? Hey, how about the bed liner? No, Chastain Ford says, what do you want in that vehicle? But most importantly, where are your payments? And what do your payments have to be at for you to be comfortable? Because, listen, everybody in the city of Houston has to have a car or a truck. But you got to have it at a price that's perfect for you so that you don't choke on it. And they don't want that. What they want you to have, the best vehicle you could possibly have at the price that fits you. All at ChastainFord.com, or you get to 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Go with the best people when you're buying this Ford car or truck. It's Chastain Ford.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here, 716, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mark is a longtime listener and a friend of the show, and he is joining us right now here on ESPN, and he has had some physical ailments of late, and we are wishing him nothing but the best, and we have been on Twitter, and it's good to hear you call, Mark. Thanks for giving us a shout-out.
Good morning, guys. I'm glad that you took my call this morning. I just wanted to publicly display as much gratitude as I possibly could over the phone, and thank you for promoting my fundraiser for my brother. As I explained in my request to elevate this fundraiser, my brother passed away on December 27th. He had been in the hospital for 13 months. He had developed meningitis, and being in a debilitated state, inactive, in the bed, bedridden basically, he ultimately developed pneumonia, and it was the pneumonia that ultimately killed him. And we had to raise money to have a funeral. So on last Friday, we did our final funeral for him. It was a great effort that you guys put together to help me raise the money that I needed to get this all taken care of. I'm not going to tell people how much money you gave because they'll be coming at you asking for money. But what you did was an abundance of generosity, and I appreciate it so very much. And I thank you. And I want the entire city of Houston, I want David Gow to know how great you two are. You're just the very best in the industry, but you're just genuinely good people, and I thank you.
Well, we appreciate that, Mark. What a tough time for you and your family, and hopefully it all worked out for the funeral services. We just did a little something, so we appreciate you as a listener. We know that you've been going through a lot of stuff too, right?
Yeah, Mark, you've gone through your physical issues and health concerns, and you keep an unbelievably positive attitude the whole time. I know that you had a match you thought was a match, and then it ended up not being a match. Where does that stand for you?
So last year, in June of 2021, I ended up developing blood clots. So they had to take me off of the kidney transplant list because they had to get that under control. So I had to wait, and I thought it would be just a few days, but it ended up being from June to December 2021. And as of last Wednesday, my transplant coordinator says that I'm back active on the list. So it's like being on the PUP list and then being taken off the PUP list. And I'm ready. I'm back in the game, so I'm on the wait list, but I'm in an active status, which is good. The other good thing about it is, I didn't lose any accumulated time, basically. So the fact that I've been on dialysis for 8 years now, it places me at the very near or the very top of the list. And I'm not soliciting a kidney, but if anybody out there is willing to donate, I'll gladly accept it, and if you contact the show and y'all want to contact me, I'll get your information over to Methodist Hospital, and they can see if we're a match.
Not even
a match, we can do a swap.
What's your Twitter handle?
Right now, so I have a problem with Twitter and Yahoo and all of that.
Did you say something inappropriate?
I didn't do anything. What happened, my iPhone just went berserk and it died on me.
Wow.
So I had to get a new phone, and you have to put all your apps and stuff on it. And I just don't remember my old Yahoo password, and I don't remember my Twitter password.
Yeah.
And all that's connected to old Yahoo account. So it's a headache.
Yeah.
But if you give me a chance, you could probably reach out to me on Facebook. I'm at Mark Foster on Facebook. I have a profile picture of my brother right now, so it doesn't look like me. But if you reach out to me on Facebook, I'll reply back to you.
There it is. All right. Well, Mark, man, best of luck with that.
Yeah, we're sorry for everything you've had to go through, man. You always keep an unbelievable attitude. I don't know how you do it. I aspire to have an attitude like you have in the face of adversity, and we hope you get your match, and we're sorry for your loss of your brother.
Yeah. Yep, all that. We appreciate
it. I thank you from the from the very bottom of my heart for what you did. I didn't expect you to do what you did, but you came through in a very, very great way for me. And I just don't know how much I appreciate you.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you too, Mark. Best of luck with that. And if you've got a kidney, you want to give Mark, there you go. Find him on Facebook, Mark at Mark Foster. We appreciate it, Mark. Thanks, buddy. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. I would say if you have a nice story about us, but that's it. That's the last one, I'm pretty sure. We had one nice story about me and Lance, and that's it. So,
and let's be honest, you guys set that up anyways.
No.
Yeah, I texted a guy and said, "Hey, can you come on and do this?"
I heard people calling us scumbags.
It's an extravagant long. It's a long con that we're running, but
yeah.
I think it can work if we really buy in. Now, Mark is, man, his journey has been really rough, but his attitude is like legitimately. I don't know how he does it. It's phenomenal.
Lesbian Craig's going through a lot of the same stuff, isn't he?
That's what I've heard.
Yeah,
I've heard he's going through some similar issues.
That dialysis.
I did not know that. I found that out. I guess he had been going through it. So, yeah, man, that's tough. That's tough once you hit that stage.
All right. So, 722 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Jonathan Gannon, what do we know about him?
I mean, not a whole lot. He's, by the way, tell people why you're asking.
Well,
Jonathan. That's the newest.
Yeah, the Texans are going to interview him for head coaching job. For the head coaching job. He is the defensive coordinator for the Eagles. The Eagles were pretty good defensively this year.
I can tell you this. Eagles fans, this is what was puzzling to me. I didn't really keep track of everything. I did think they played better than I expected based on the early season, the way they did. But then Eagles fire Gannon became a huge trending topic for Eagles fans after the game. So I figured, well, maybe he just wasn't good. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, fans will just do that in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Just say fire a coordinator. It is a little interesting, I thought, based on the – it shouldn't really – the strength of your last game, if it's a bad game, shouldn't determine whether or not you get head coaching looks. But I think this is –
Well, that's the first team that's ever given up anything to Tom Brady.
Yeah, usually most people shut Brady down,
especially in the postseason.
As I glance through his background, I'm looking for Patriots and see Patriots. Nope, don't find Patriots anywhere. Although it is interesting that he is defensive backs coach for the Indianapolis Colts from 2018 to 2020. Let me tell you the connection here. He might be one of the coaches that came over with Josh McDaniels. In other words, some of the coaches that were going to go over with Josh McDaniels, you remember Ballard took over the Colts in 17. He got rid of Pagano. Josh McDaniels was going to be the head coach in 18, and he brought in some coaches in advance and then pulled out. Well, Ballard honored the contracts for the coaches who were there, who Josh was going to bring in, and he honored those contracts. So my guess is this was one of the coaches. That's my guess, is that he's one of the coaches that was going to come in with Josh McDaniels and I've mentioned this before, Jack Easterby, because Easterby was going with Josh McDaniels to, I think I call him Josh Daniels, Josh McDaniels to the Colts. So Easterby and McDaniels were going to go to the Colts, and then you may remember they pulled out, and then Frank Reich took over as head coach there. This may be, Jonathan Gannon may be, he was a defensive back coach there. I can just text and find out. He may have been one of the guys who came over with Josh, you know, when Josh was originally, and Josh and Easterby were going to originally come over. So that may be his connection with Nick Caserio. You know, a guy that I would like to see get an interview is Aaron Glenn. I know Aaron would love to get an interview here. Aaron Glenn is a player who played here, who's from the area, went to Texas A&M, was a phenomenal cornerback, was one of the original Texans in the expansion draft, played excellent football for the Texans. Really played great football when the Texans were an expansion team and was part of a team that, frankly, had a legitimate NFL defense right out of the gate. AG became a scout, I want to say, in 13, because I had a conversation with him at a Starbucks right down the street about offensive line stuff. He was going to scout, and he wanted to, you know, look for certain things in certain positions, and he didn't know a lot about O-line stuff, and I remember having a talk with him. And before you knew it, he was headed up the ranks. He's currently a defensive coordinator with Dan Campbell with the Lions and did a pretty good job this year. He's got interviews with at least one. No, he's got interviews with two different teams. You know, he's a guy that should be, based on what you He's a guy who I've heard great things about from a leadership standpoint with the players in New Orleans and now the players in Detroit. I would think that that's the kind of guy, based on his connections to the organization, to the city, the way he's a leader. If you care about having a young African-American coach, he fits that bill, relatively young. And I mean, he's in his 40s.
With Texans ties, obviously.
He's 40s. He's got lots of ties.
Yeah.
AG should get an interview here as well.
Yeah.
Because he's got the type of, I mean, more so than Hines Ward. I don't know the Hines Ward connection, but if you're looking for somebody to actually be a head coach of a football team, well, Aaron Glenn is a guy that should be getting an interview.
Well, as glowing as Nick Caserio was about Mike Tomlin and the Steelers organization the other day, Hines Ward, I guess, made some sense, although he's a, what, wide receivers coach at Florida Atlantic?
Yeah, I'm wondering if now that was clearly, that's a networking and marketing interview. There's no way Hines Ward gets this job. There's just,
really? Because David Culley did.
There's no way. That's what I'm saying. You're not making your second hire Hines Ward. That's not happening. So there's no way he gets a job. I'll quit radio if he gets this job. I will legitimately not come in the next day. I'll shut it down and I'll find something else. At least in Houston. I'll go somewhere else. If Hines Ward is I will live up to my bet, too, for sure. For real. I'm not joking. Hines has no chance of being a head coach. It's being done as an opportunity to help Hines and to get his name out there, get him in the circle. Maybe he was a Fritz Pollard alliance, you know, push where they wanted him to get the interview. I don't know. But he's not going to be a head coach now. But you have to start this process. This is why it's important. And I get when people talk about, you know, the affirmative action and they don't like quotas and they don't like this. That, and that. I get all that stuff. I mean, you want the best person to get the job. But you have to for a minority candidate in any position, no matter what it is, you have to have an opportunity to go through the process to be viewed as a potential candidate. And the only way you do that is if you get into a process of interviewing. I'm speaking with a guy, I'm friends with a guy in Kansas City who's going through the process right now. He's a legitimate candidate. This is not just you're getting interviewed because you're a black candidate. This guy's a legitimate candidate that will be a general manager very, very soon. Very, very sharp guy. But we talked a little bit about, you know, being a black candidate. And he, you know, he said, I don't want anything given to me.
Yeah.
Nothing. And he goes, he said, in a way, I'm kind of a little bit disgusted that a third rounder is given up. Like, a team gets a third rounder.
That said,
if I'm hired, he goes, but you know what? If it gets me in the door and I get a chance to get an interview I wouldn't have had, I already know I'm going to blow him away.
That said, there's one black head coach in the NFL right now.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
But there will be four by the end of the year, I think.
Yeah, probably.
I think there's
all right. 7378037776.
Mayo Flores and Tomlin Mayo Flores. And I just have to think about it.
We'll see if Kansas City. Oh, well, I don't
might.
Know D'Amico. I don't know.
I think he still needs a little more seasoning.
Yeah, but Eric Bieniemy is a chance. He's got a shot.
Yeah, Bieniemy.
All right. 7378037776 to get in here. 729 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Uh-oh. Art just called us racist because he goes, go ahead and start naming off the Mexican candidates. Ron Rivera is there.
Yeah.
We've got Ron
slow
Rivera.
Down. Okay, just as many as black head coaches. Okay, so slow your roll, Art. Okay. And not start naming all the Mexican players in the NFL, Art. Go. Time to talk right now for me about Absolute Marble and Granite, okay? If you're looking for a great way to get... Guys, how old is your house? Do you want to sell it ever? When we wanted to sell our house, it was a huge selling point, was our outdoor patio and kitchen and the pool. All of these things were huge in selling our house. When you want to sell your house, are you going to be able to? Have you upgraded? Because if you haven't upgraded, if you haven't made it so much better, if you haven't made it attractive to whomever, if it's old, dingy, dirty, if it's outdated, you ain't selling it, brother. All you got to do is go call Jeff Aronoff and let him come over and redo it. Okay, what is it that needs done? A new outdoor kitchen or patio, your kitchen, your bathrooms, your showers, whatever it is, Jeff Aronoff will get that job done. 713-880-2822. 713, you're sitting in your car right now going, man, I do need to do something. Call Jeff. 713-880-2822.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I'm looking at SportsNot has a list of the job openings right now in the NFL, and they've got the Texans last. And the first sentence is, what an absolute dumpster fire the Texans have become under owner Cal McNair. And you could, I guess you could argue that this is the worst. There really is.
I made that argument the other day.
Yeah.
Either worst or next to worst.
Weren't the Giants right there?
Well, that's because they've got it. The difference is they got two firsts.
Vikings, I think, weren't that your worst?
No, because the Vikings have things you can win with.
Yeah, the Vikings are.
It depends on how you, like, John, you were using salary cap space. Right. It depends on, the Giants, to me, have a real problem because.
The Vikings have a real cap problem.
The Giants have, see, I would argue that. You know, a team that has a lot of problems right now is, this feels like, I know it feels like recency bias, but I look at a team like Arizona and I would be deeply concerned that you didn't give up. I mean, JJ is no big deal, but D-Hop, you wonder how long D-Hop's going to keep playing. AJ Green's getting close to being done. Yeah. Kyler Murray.
Yeah, but you still
has not been
guys.
Able to take the next step. He was 24 touchdowns, 10 interceptions this year. Now he missed some time, but he missed all of November. But your offensive line is not where it needs to be. You do have some players there, but you're getting ready to have to. You can't reset quarterback.
We're talking about the worst job openings, and you're comparing Arizona to like the Texans.
No.
It's not even close.
Yeah. But what I'm telling you is there's levels to this. You have to look at this. The Texans are at ground zero.
Yeah.
The Arizona Cardinals are a playoff team.
Yeah.
No, but the Houston Texans, it wasn't that long ago, they were the Arizona Cardinals. So Don't forget that. Look how quick it can sail off.
Well, said this forever, is that the Rockets were in James Harden
purgatory.
And Kyler Murray, they may be in Kyler Murray to purgatory. I understand what you're saying there. And you may never win anything with Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray has, you know, he won at every level.
I don't know how much upward mobility you have. The Texans have nothing but upward mobility.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only positive is you're going to have draft capital. You're going to move forward. You're going to get better. The question is, how quickly.
You can't get worse.
At what rate? Exactly. More. How quickly, at what rate, and.
But
do you find your quarterback, which is the number one question always?
But listen, I appreciate what they're doing in Arizona when they realized they made a mistake, a head coaching mistake and a quarterback mistake. They got out of it right away. This organization, I'm telling you, let me ask you this, because I asked a rich guy yesterday. I said, what if you were Cal McNair? And you paid $22 million to a head coach with no experience for one season. What would you say to him when he walked into your office? He said, I would say, get out and don't come back. You're fired. How in the world did you get used out of my money, $22 million, for a guy that had zero leverage? That you have to know he very possibly could be a one-and-done guy, and yet you gave him 4 guaranteed years and $22 million.
By the way, I'm still not sure.
Whatever Bill O'Brien did, the incompetence level of that matches everything that Bill O'Brien did.
Do you know that there's some people around the game who said, y'all got this? I had this conversation with somebody who is not, it's not somebody that you know. Who said, I think you're wrong on this. The media's got it wrong on the contract for David Culley. I brought up something about, like, how could you be so stupid to give him $22 million? And he goes, you think that makes sense?
No.
So I said, what?
Makes zero sense.
No, when you know he's a placeholder, he goes, exactly. He goes, you guys have this contract stuff wrong. He goes, David Culley is telling you this is what his contract is. Well, because no one's going to say it's not. Nick won't answer the question. David doesn't want to be embarrassed that he took a two-year guaranteed deal and had the other years weren't even guaranteed, because that's not normal for most coaches.
Right.
He said, you guys, he said, Adam Schefter had it. He said, always trust Schefter. He goes, Schefter had it right the first time. You guys are going off of what David Culley is saying and what an agent is saying, because they know that Nick Caserio is not going to discuss his money. He goes, I'll guarantee you he got a two-year deal. And
that makes sense.
That makes more sense, honestly. Yeah. It doesn't make sense that it should be that long.
No. No. And okay, so if it's wrong, apologies.
Yeah.
But apparently what everybody's saying is Tom Pelissero got it right.
No, I know. That's what I brought up. And all I heard, all this person said was, you should dig deeper, he goes. But the problem is, the head coach is going to say, I get all my money. He said, even if he doesn't, who cares? And the owner and the team isn't going to address it. And once it's over, it's over. It doesn't matter. When that building, it should matter.
It should matter.
If Pelissero's right and that much is guaranteed, the fundamental incompetence across the board.
No,
it's not about how much money Cal spends. It's about, this is a way of doing business that shows the incompetence of ownership. How can you win when you're incompetent at the top?
Well, if it is, I apologize.
I'm just saying it may.
But if it's not, if Pelissero is right, it is as egregious as anything Bill O'Brien did. And oh, by the way, it is a, you know, I've heard, oh, listen, it really didn't matter, that hire, and it doesn't count against Caserio. Yes, it does. It was an important hire. I know he had to get somebody. Picking David Culley out of all of the NFL people that you could have chosen.
Why was it an important hire? Tell me why it was an important hire.
You need a transition
out
of Bill O'Brien.
Then maybe it was the right hire, because who's going to take that job when they know they're a lame duck coach?
Anyone would have taken. There's only 32 of them.
You proved that
you're a damn good coach, which was what Brian Flores did.
Brian
Flores proved that he was a good coach.
Right, but the Texans were
in a terrible situation.
Texans are a no-win situation. All one-year contracts.
You don't think any of those other guys that interviewed would have taken the job? Yeah, absolutely they would.
I don't know. Maybe Bieniemy would have. Although they didn't even, did they end up interviewing him?
Yeah,
or no?
Later after.
Yeah, I don't count it.
No.
Robert Saleh didn't get an interview. I don't know. I think if you think Deshaun Watson, you got to remember now, the timing of it was
look at Robert Saleh, for example. What a mess the Jets were this year. Yeah, you know what? A lot of people are like, wow, Robert Saleh, I really like that. That guy was the right hire.
But he had the second pick of the draft. Like, that's not a placeholder type of job.
The third rounder played better than the second pick of the draft. Well, What's the difference? He had the second pick.
Well, because you actually have picks. Like, that's a much better situation than Texans headed in if you're a head coach. You got a quarterback that ended up catching. Now, at the time, once again, you don't know about the lawsuit thing, but you do know that he doesn't want to play. This was an unwinnable situation here for David Culley.
Yeah, no, so was the Jets. So was the Jets.
If this is your only chance,
Jacksonville, an unwinnable situation.
If it's your only chance, you don't take it.
No, you absolutely. There are plenty of people that would have taken that job. The fact that they hired David Culley was just a massive, massive miss. A guy who had zero chance of getting a head coaching job, and he had zero interviews ever. I mean, what was the sense of that? Well, exactly.
But so they could control him and. Because he had the personality to transition from O'Brien, like you talked about. I think he was chosen for a reason.
So it was about power. I want to have my power.
What, are we just now starting doing the show? No, we've been doing it. That's what we've been saying. I've been saying. You agree with it. He's malleable. They can control and manipulate and do what they need to do.
That's why this is the worst job ever.
Without
pushback.
Because
the general manager wants somebody that's just a puppet.
John, you have a weak, incompetent owner, and yes, you are going to be a puppet. Yeah, it is. That's why this is such a concerning position, because you wonder, whoever's hired, I feel like you're either going to be Patriot way or you're going to be someone who is happy to have the job. One or the other.
Wait a minute.
Happy Patriot to have the job or Patriot
the head
way?
The coach has all of the power. And then Nick Caserio wants a coach that has zero power.
No, Patriot way is one person has the power. It's not, they come from head coach. He's the authoritarian figure here. Lots of places the GM is most powerful. If you get hired, Bill Belichick is hiring Nick Caserio. Bill Belichick's doing the hiring. Nick Caserio's doing the hiring here. So Nick Caserio is going to be that one person, one voice, one hire. You know, he's going to be that authoritarian. So that's why I firmly believe whoever is head coach here, and if it works, it works. That's great. But it's either going to be Patriot way or it's going to be, I'm happy to have the job and I will let you, you know, I'm not going to push back too hard against you. I'm not going to fight for the 53. Now, everyone starts with, I'm not going to fight for the 53. And then, you know, there's in buildings in very successful NFL franchises right now, there are buildings where there are fights going on for the 53. It's ultimately what broke up Rick Smith and Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien came here and he thought, I got the 53, which means I have control of the roster. And then apparently he didn't have it, so he started pouting, and he wasn't even hardly involved in the Deshaun Watson draft. He was just like, okay, all right, Rick, you do your thing. Bill went along, gave some answers.
Of Bill O'Brien when they took Deshaun Watson,
yeah.
And Rick is standing there smiling, and Bill is just pissed. And, oh, by the way, Rick couldn't have been more right. And, oh, by the way,
Rick, you don't
give that to your coach. However, you also don't have a puppet like David Culley was. You can't be that power hungry that you can't even have a head coach. It was the hire was embarrassing. And you know what? It does count against Nick Caserio. It does count against Caserio. That was your first hire.
Really?
Yeah.
By to who?
To you?
You think it counts for Cal?
No.
And it doesn't count.
That's exactly the point.
Exactly. So it doesn't count against
him. Which is why this job.
You and I can say it counts for us against him. The reality is it doesn't count against him. What, Twitter? It counts against him for Skip and Shannon, for Stephen A., for John and Lance, for Gilbert, for us?
Yeah.
Who cares what we think?
Right.
Have you never figured out? It doesn't matter what anyone thinks with the Texans. That's the scary part, is I just told you that, and I can tell by your demeanor you realize, that's right, it doesn't count. Nothing counts against anybody with the Texans.
So unbelievable.
It is.
745 ESPN 97.5.
Nothing matters.
You know what matters is your car and how much money you get for it, and that's GiveMeTheVIN.com. GiveMeTheVIN.com. You're looking for the best way to sell your car, John Clay Wolf. Oh, how about Cowboy Fan? I can't wait till Cowboy Fan calls in to give him the business. He didn't answer, Aaron? Lee. Oh, you know why he's not answering? Because I'm watching the Cowboys lose again right now on ESPN because they suck. And you know what? He's in Dallas, and he's a Cowboy fan. Give him the business. Not only do you give him the business about the Cowboys, but give him the business by getting more for your car from him. He'll give you more for your car than anyone else will. That's giving him the business. Stick it to him. That's right. Stick it to John Clay Wolf. I love that. John Clay Wolf, guess what? You're paying me more. And the Cowboys suck. Both. So you lose right there. You're paying me more. All you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVIN.com and get more for your car. At GiveMeTheVIN.com, that's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm hitting unsubscribe on these emails, on a lot of these emails. I get so many flipping emails. Does it work? Does unsubscribe work?
Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah.
I don't believe it. Will they not send me anymore? I don't believe you.
That depends on the company.
Yeah. No, I don't believe you. I'm sorry. I just don't believe that it's not. They're not going to send me any more emails. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number. Josh McDaniels. There's an article here about Josh McDaniels. Days have passed. Head coaching jobs have opened up. Is it that people don't trust Josh McDaniels now after what he did to Indy? I think that might be a big deal.
I think it's... That might be part of it. Maybe they're getting leery about the coaching tree of Belichick. Maybe it's what he did to Indy. I mean, that's considered low. That's considered very low rate stuff. I don't know. I don't know. The Texans have not reached out to Josh McDaniels or Mayo yet, and Mayo's got interview requests, I think, from the Raiders and from Denver currently. So now my thought is they may already have a little.
Yeah,
we good. You're good, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It may be one of those where they wait till the end, and then here come the Patriots. And when I say here come the Patriots, into this building.
Right. No, listen, is there a reason they haven't even asked Gerard Mayo yet?
Well, because they already know. Why would you not interview him?
Well, they don't want to jump on it right away.
It's already been out that this is the favorite, so now it's going to, really? Think it is? Nick Caserio wasn't even in the mix and got this job. He wasn't even in the mix. No one was even talking about him. Wasn't on the Corn Ferry list. Wasn't even interviewed and ended up getting the job.
So what are the odds that it's not one of the big three Patriots that gets this job? And do you think that Nick Caserio maybe does it just to go, you see? Oh, you all see? Oh, you all said it was going to be New England. We're New England South.
He won't give you that.
No, I don't think he'll give you that. It's probably, but listen, Gerard Mayo is out there already interviewing, and the Texans haven't asked him yet. Now, will they? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely they will. But it hasn't happened yet. And Josh McDaniels, I don't think they have to interview Josh McDaniels, tell you the truth, do they? I don't even think he knows he's worked intimately with Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a problem. So here's a little different perspective on David Culley from I just got a text. Somebody who's listening. I completely disagree with y'all. Culley was the perfect transition guy. Super nice guy. Players absolutely love him. Media likes him. Did a decent job. Isn't a play caller, so you were able to really see what you had in your assistant coaches. This isn't a bad mark against his career, it won't hurt him in future jobs. I don't know why I would never have a future job based on the money, and I don't care if it's 2 years or 4 years. If I'm David Culley, I'm like, peace out NFL. He's got a great pension.
Yeah, his pension's already done.
Already taken care of, and he just got a golden parachute ticket out of there where he takes care of him and his kids and grandkids. So he's good. But what do you think about the point that was made there?
Well, I disagree. Anyone who saw David Culley this year, if you don't think that it's a black mark against his coaching, then you weren't paying attention.
Shows he was not a head coach.
No, he wasn't a head coach. But so what is he actually? Because everywhere he's been, listen, when he was in Baltimore, they sucked. His offensively, he was their passing game coordinator, wasn't he? Or their running, whatever it
no,
was.
No, he was just a wide receiver.
When he was the wide receivers coach in Kansas City, they had zero touchdown catches. What is it about David Culley that tells you, and what you saw this year, David Culley did not help himself coaching-wise this year.
Was that on?
He's been an NFL lifer, and he didn't know that you should let New England score a touchdown. He didn't know that you should take the third down penalty and not punt.
Yeah, you're
he
telling
didn't
me.
No, I mean, are you?
He's
kidding?
Not a head coach. He doesn't have the. He
no,
doesn't
not
have
a
the,
head coach. Lance, I've never been a head coach, and I knew these things.
You're telling me he doesn't have.
He's good, an NFL lifer.
He doesn't have good football IQ. Yes. I get it.
So why would I it want my staff?
But it doesn't.
And that was a big secret before this.
Why would you want him on your staff if you're an NFL team?
Yes.
Well, obviously, people much smarter than you and me, Andy Reid and John Harbaugh, knew something.
They love him because of the guy he is.
Well, that's part of the. I hate to tell you, but that's part of the locker room. That's a big part of it.
Yeah,
you find
guys
at positions. Sometimes it's running back coach. Sometimes it's tight end coach. I've heard running back coach, tight end coach can be two positions. You can hide a coach if you need to. Not really special teams, by the way, but because sometimes you need the right fit in your locker room and the right fit on your coaching staff. David Culley is as amiable and personable as it gets.
No, I know that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with David Culley.
That's not a secret.
You're saying he shouldn't have been a head coach. Obviously, he shouldn't have been. We know that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
And they didn't help him at all. Whoever just texted you, it didn't help him at all.
No, he just said it didn't hurt him if he wants to get another job. He probably could get another job.
Well, probably. Yeah.
You're not in the league this many years with these teams.
I would be surprised.
They think highly of him.
And oh, by the way,
I wouldn't. Go back in the league if I were him.
What? Not and what? I'm going to go after I'm head coach of an NFL team. I'm going to go be your wide receivers coach again. And oh, by the way, but his resume and where he was and the success that they had when he was a position coach was not good. It was not good before this. And actually, it just brought it all out. So everybody looked at it and went, wow, he's not good at what he does here.
So Andy Reid, when did he get over there? He's been there for a while. He was assistant head coach, which is a way you can get someone over and get more money. He was assistant head coach with Baltimore Ravens. I mean, I was telling you, those are two coaches who are as highly regarded as anyone in the league, and they made him assistant head coach. Yeah. There's something to David Culley that people in the league who have much more experience than we do yeah. really like the
no,
guy.
No, because he's great on your staff. Because he's a great guy. He's a great guy. A great guy.
Now, he's been a whether lot of places.
Not, yes, whether or not he's a great coach, I think this year, I'm just saying, I don't think he helped himself at all. Let's get Roger in here. Hey, Roger.
What's happening, fellas? Man, I think y'all kind of overblowing the Patriot way. I looked at the list the other day, man. All the head coaches that people want, the high commodities, have some kind of tie to the Patriots. Then when you get down to the bottom of the list, it's people like Leslie Frazier and now even Ive Ward and D'Amico Ryan and all that kind of stuff. So I just think they overblowing the Patriots way. I take a listen at what you got here. I say, appreciate it.
Well, I don't know how many guys have ties to the Patriots necessarily based on a lot of the names that are going to be mentioned. I mean, it's I'm curious to see. The new thing is you want to find the next Matt LaFleur, right? Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur. Everyone's Brandon Staley had – he was a hot name before the Chargers kind of flamed out. But everyone wants to find that next young guy when the reality is there's some – coaches who have been coaches before, like Doug Peterson, he gets cut. Maybe it's because he has a middle hair part, but Doug Peterson has had success in the NFL. He has been a successful play caller and has won a Super Bowl, and no one even thinks about him. They'd rather like, I mean, you got to get your hands on. I don't know who the hot. I mean, D'Amico will probably be one of the hot coordinators.
What I like about D'Amico and Gerard Mayo is that there were players.
Yeah,
you know,
and linebackers.
Yeah,
which is quarterback.
Mayo was when we heard from yesterday. We had the Pats reporter on, and he said, "What a leader!" And what a
do you have that soundbite
followed?
Did you cut that? I want to get on the other side. I want to get that because Mike Reese. If you didn't hear yesterday, and there's a good chance you didn't on MLK Day. If you didn't work and you weren't listening to the show, you need to hear this because I came away really like, huh.
No.
Pretty impressed about what he had to say about it. Mike Reese has been there forever.
He was a captain in his second year in the league.
Yeah.
He was a captain for the New England Patriots. And you know, that's saying something about a guy.
That's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. So we'll hear for those of you that you didn't work yesterday, lazy. We worked yesterday, okay? If you didn't work and you didn't hear Mike Reese yesterday on this show, we'll play that about Gerard Mayo on the other side, right here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.